Welcome to the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by No Halftime. Use promo code BBALL100 to get up to a $100 deposit bonus to use in the app. You can find the No Halftime app on the Apple Store and Amazon.com. And with that, we are off. Welcome to the show for Friday, November 11th. I'm your host, Daniel Green, otherwise known as the Judge in the DFS realm. And today I am joined by the wild man himself, Tyler Watts. Tyler, what's going on, man?
Not much, Daniel. How are you doing today?
I am doing excellent. Had a very nice night on DFS on Thursday. The Denver Nuggets getting blown up by Golden State hurt me a little bit, dropped me down, but still was a successful endeavor. So I could not complain too much. Wish I had a little bit more Jabari Parker. But I had lots of Winslow, lots of Whiteside. I had a very nice Rondo action tonight, who actually played well for the Bulls. And had some other guys, as my dog is carrying toys around my apartment. Anyway, did you play any DFS on Thursday?
No, I was out most of today, so I didn't really get a chance to put in any lineups today.
All right, well, you can play on Friday and redeem yourself. And Friday's a really nice slate, 8 games. Honestly, for Friday, that's first of all, I love like around 6 to 8 games. That's like my wheelhouse. I think anything over 8 games is a lot of data to analyze. Takes me a really long time to do the proper research. So normally on Fridays, I would say you get like 10 to 12 games. So having 8 games on a Friday, I think is pretty cool. It's still a lot of basketball, but I think it's enough you know data where you're still able to you know analyze it in a reasonable manner.
I agree. I mean, that's kind of the sweet spot there where like there's not so few games, but then there's not so many where you're like your mind is blown by the amount.
That is right. I couldn't have said it better myself, my friend. So the one weird thing right now is, so we're taping it, it's 1:15 in the morning on Thursday night or early Friday morning. So there's a lot of injury news that we're still waiting on. So there's only 1, 2, 3 out of the 8 games, there's only 4 spreads that are up. We're still waiting on the other 4, and that's because of injuries or possible injury news to George Hill, Valachunas, Bradley Beal, Al Horford. So because of that, there's 4 games where there's no over-unders, no spreads. But we have a couple. The game with the biggest over-under is Sacramento at Portland. Sacramento is the only team on the slate coming off of a back-to-back. Of course, Sacramento lost again on Thursday night because they suck and they should be disbanded or moved to Seattle or in the D-League. And hashtag Mopeyhead, of course, couldn't hit value again, even against the Lakers. Like DeMarcus Cousins, that big beast, I'm just so annoyed with that whole team.
That new arena is pretty sweet, though. You got to give them that.
No, I will not. I will give them nothing. I will give them nothing. They should be in Seattle, first of all, and second of all, how are they bad every year? The Lakers are already better than them. I mean, it's just what a disorganized, disgusting franchise, which saddens me because I remember when Sacramento was really good, man. When they had C-Webb and you know, before Vlade was a horrendous GM, he was actually a pretty good basketball player. And they had Mike Bibby.
Was in my youth, man. They were awesome. They played the Lakers like every year in the conference finals. Man.
They were so much fun to watch, and now they just suck every year. Anyway, so the Sacramento at Portland, that game's a 211 over-under. Portland's only favored by 6.5. How is that possible with Sacramento on a back-to-back? I know Portland hasn't looked great this year, but Portland at home should be able to beat Sacramento pretty handily. I mean, I was thinking me and Tyler were talking off air. My biggest dream killer, and if you need to follow me on Twitter, you know that one of my things every night, we have a lot of fun with me and all my followers. We mentioned who's the guy that crushed our lineups, crushed our dreams, crushed our hopes, crushed our chances of glory. And we're taking down a big GPP, and we call those players dream killers. Like, Vegas has been a dream killer this year. Like, Tyler, they've been wrong on so many spreads, so many over-unders. Like, games that Vegas thinks are going to be close end up being blowouts and vice versa. It's been super annoying. Like, tonight, for instance, Vegas said Golden State was only a 6.5-point favorite against Denver. So, so I thought the game was going to be close. Sure enough, Golden State blows the hell out of them. And it wrecked a lot of my lineups. It's just been really frustrating. Now, Vegas has been wrong a lot this year.
Yeah, I totally agree. It has not been a good year for Vegas so far, but I wouldn't be surprised if they turned it around.
Yeah, I mean, obviously at some point they will. And we have to keep trusting them because they are smarter than all of us. But with that said, the one nasty game that we're probably going to avoid a lot of on an 8-game slate is Detroit at San Antonio. San Antonio is an 8.5-point favorite, but the over-under there is 195. So that looks like a really nasty game. A game that looks kind of, a game that looks tasty is the Clippers at OKC. I was expecting this to be about a 216 over-under. It's 204. I almost, you know, I fell out of my chair, out of my couch again, or whatever I said last time, last show. That didn't make any sense. That would mean you did. So, like, this was surprising. So I had Tyler do some research. And Tyler, can you tell the viewers or listeners why this game is so low in terms of over-under?
Well, the only thing I could really find, Oklahoma City is 7th in the NBA in pace, and the Clippers are 17th. So, I mean, they're obviously not as high as you think they would be. I'm not really sure if the amount of blowout games they've had has had an effect on that. But, I mean, I'm with you. I think that the over-under there is just too low. And, I mean, I'm just obviously betting the over if you're taking the bet, and I would expect more points for any DFS contest I am playing tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, the Clippers have been a tough team to gauge because they've been blowing everyone out by like 50 points. So I think that may be some of it. But they are – the Clippers – remember, Chris Paul's no spring chicken anymore. He's got to be pushing like 32. So they don't play as fast as they used to. But I still think that 204 is a little low over-under for that game. And I would expect it to be a, you know, to be a around a 212, 214 over-under, quite honestly. Other than that, you got Indiana at Philly. This is an early game, and right now it's the highest over-under of the night at 213. Indiana, like, I'm not sure. I think they were ranked like 6 or 7 in pace last time I looked, but Vegas always has them in a really high, fast-paced, up-tempo game. They played Philly. I think it was Wednesday night, so this is a rematch. There were a lot of tasty, juicy players in this game that had monster nights, like Jeff Teague. Paul George finally played well. Saric for Philly went nuts. Covington went nuts. First time these two teams played. So there's a lot of guys from this game I'm going to target again that are reasonably priced in a really nice game that might get overlooked on an 8-game slate.
Yeah, and it was 122 to 115 on Wednesday. Now, that granted, that game went to overtime, but, I mean, they both clearly scored a lot of points, so.
And finally, just one note, one housekeeping. On Friday, there will be my first best of the best tournament on the Judges Chambers tournament. As you know, every day we run a daily DFS tournament that a lot of you guys have been playing. It's been a lot of fun. And on every Friday, I do a winners only. So people who have won the Chambers I'm also unveiling the first power rankings of the Chambers on Friday, Tyler. Very exciting day in the DFS realm. And so if you've either won the Chambers or you're in
So are you allowed in? Because you haven't won yet, have you?
I did win the second day of the season. I won.
Oh, I thought you were held winless so far.
No, I've won and I've gotten 2 seconds.
I knew you got second. That was just recently, twice. Right?
Yeah. Well, I got second on back-to-back nights, and then I won one of the first days of the season. But unfortunately, since I'm the judge, I have to be in it anyway, because if you create the tournaments, you have to be in it. So how dare you question my my talents, my worthiness.
I'm going to have to start joining the chambers just to get in.
You'll get annihilated. Yeah, I don't think you're ready. I don't even know if I'm going to grant you an invite.
I'll beat you every day, I guarantee it.
Oh, God, please. But it's a lot of fun. So it's winners only on Friday, and then it's also – if you're the top half of the power rankings, hopefully you'll get a tweet from me and an invite if you made the cut. Good luck. Hopefully, if you did. If not, I still might run a chambers for the rest of us, for those of you who didn't quite make it.
The mere mortals.
Yeah, and we'll go from there. And let's get to cracking, man. Woo! So, only team on the second day of a back to back, as mentioned before, is the Kings. First day of a back to back. A lot of teams I don't even feel like talking about. The only one maybe you want to pay attention to is the Spurs, because it's the Spurs and Popovich is cray cray.
And I'll mention that Philly is on the first of a back-to-back, and they're supposedly wrestling Jahlil Okafor tomorrow. So do not play Jahlil Okafor in your lineup.
That means less, more Saric for me, and Joel Embiid can play. Who literally might be my favorite player to watch in the NBA right now. He's awesome. I just pray he doesn't get hurt. He's so fun to watch.
Yeah, totally agree there.
All right, we got a really good show sheet. Tyler started to prepare, and then I have some funny jokes in here. Hopefully, we'll get to say them and they're not too raunchy. Let's get cracking, man. All right, point guards. As always, it's loaded. Let's start at top. Westbrook. Westbrook's price has come down because he hasn't been hitting value. Last five games, 46, 42, 51, 32, 53. Now, for a normal player, you'd be like, that's pretty good value. But for Westbrook, this was a guy who was 13K about a week and a half ago, maybe. Now he's 11.5K. So his price has come way down, partly because OKC's had some blowouts, partly just because he hasn't played that great. He still has a 43% usage rate. So, you know, he's still obviously one of the best plays in DFS that you know, on any given night. Right now, I don't know if he's going to be a cash game play for me. Now, remember, he's playing the Clippers, so he's got CP3, who's probably, you know, still one of the top three defensive point guards in the game. So Westbrook, to me, is going to be an excellent tournament play, will not be a cash game play for me on Friday, which is – it's so weird because I'm so used to using him in my cash games. But as of Friday, he's not – I mean, as of now, he's not.
Well, and I think it's worth mentioning, too, that he's almost $2,000 higher than the next highest person on the board. So in your cash games, I kind of like to fit in a few smaller guys and save that $2,000 personally tomorrow.
Yeah, that makes sense. Especially, I mean, point guard, there's so much value at point guard every day. And Friday, as we'll get to in a couple minutes, Friday's no different. So next up, from that same game, Chris Paul, CP3. He's been super steady, man. I like him a lot. The problem for the Clippers is they can't – like the Clippers might be the second-best team in the NBA right now. You could make an argument that they're the best team in the NBA right now. They've been blowing everyone out by like 50, 60 points, so it's very tough to gauge, you know, CP3 and Blake Griffin, their value. You know, his last five games, he's been 49, 63, 37, 49, and 35 FanDuel points. But some of those have been like in under 30 minutes. So his 9.3 price is very fair. Westbrook's not a very good defender. He does so much offensively. He has to, he basically rests on the defensive end. I don't blame him. So Chris Paul, right now, I mean, you could probably use him in cash. I think he's fine for cash on Friday, and he's a good play for tournaments as well.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Getting away from that game. Dame Judy Dench-Lillard, 9.3K versus Sacramento. He's coming off a disastrous game of only 8 FanDuel points. Before that, though, he's a very safe floor. You know, he's got a pretty nice ceiling. He's fine for cash on Friday. I do worry a little bit that they can blow Sacramento out. Sacramento's coming on back-to-back. Vegas says it's not going to be a blowout. Vegas has also been wrong every damn day this year. So I probably still will not play Lillard in cash, although I think it's fine to do. But for tournaments, he's still a great play.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that just – I'm not sure Ty Lawson has – he's actually rated as a decent defender this year, but I'm not sure that he really is. And I think that Lillard could potentially blow up even if it's only in three quarters.
I don't know if the person who rated that was Ty Lawson himself after he's drinking like a six-pack of beer, because like that's – Ty Lawson is not a good defender. But now Darren Collison's back anyway, right? So, I mean, they're basically – I think they've been splitting. The first game, Collison got like, what, 20, I think it was like 24 minutes or something.
28.
I'm trying to see tonight how many minutes it did
– The split in the first game was Collison at 28 and Ty Lawson at 21. I'm not exactly sure. That game just ended tonight. Yeah, so.
I'm quick trying to check what happened on Thursday night, because that's going to be a factor. I would love to play some Collison if he's going to get – So on Thursday night, Ty Lawson still got 25 minutes – and Collison got 22 minutes. That's a little surprising. As the Lakers beat the Kings. I mean, just unbelievable. So, Yeah, so on a back-to-back, maybe they're going to hold Collison back a little bit. I'm not sure. But anyway. Yeah, I still disagree that Ty Lawson's a good defender. Moving on, my man, John Wall. What's going on with John Wall, Tyler? John Wall's went loco the last couple games. He's been ejected the last.
Some angry pills.
Yeah, he's been ejected the last two games. Then again, he got ejected. He got tangled up with Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart's a nasty. I say it in a favorable way. He's a nasty defender. So I mean, you know, that's not that surprising. Those two would get tangled up. And John Wall is you know, as much as some people like to see videos of him dancing and stuff, he's a pretty harsh competitor. So, but I didn't think he'd be. He's like the last couple of games. Something is not right with him and that team in general. Even this season, Wall's only hit value like one of the last six games. He's been, you know, between like 32 and 44 FanDuel points. You know, he did have one game that was like 55 FanDuel points, but you know, the 9K price, which normally for him I think is very fair, you know, versus Cleveland on Friday, that's not the best matchup in the world, even though Kyrie is not, you know, not a stellar defender. So Wall's a tournament play for me only. You got to play him. Hope he can keep his head together. The good news is Washington is at home. John Wall is always, if you look at his splits, is always a better player at home. So I think he's a sneaky tournament play, man. Oh, he's probably going to be low owned because there's so many good plays. Everyone just is probably pissed because he got the hasn't had value and has been ejected. And so recency bias reasons and ownership reasons, I think, make him a stellar play on Friday. But I don't think I want him in cash games.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on both of those. I'm definitely not playing my cash games, but I do think he's going to be low into tournaments. So you got an opportunity there with a great player that maybe he comes out, has a huge game, and helps you win the tournament.
Yep. Next up is Isaiah Thomas. Isaiah Thomas has been – he's been, like, just sneaky consistent. Between 34 and 46 FanDuel points this year. The price has come up a little bit on him, but I think it's warranted, 8.2K. He's locked into, the 35 minutes around there. He's, you know, I like the matchup versus Derrick Rose and the Knicks. Boston's been playing like crap, so they gotta be hungry for a win here. You know, I think he's fine. Quite honestly, I'm not gonna play him in cash, but if you want to go that route, that I think that's fine. And he does have some upside, so I think he's fine for tournaments too. And he'll be low owned on Friday.
Yeah, and I think it's a great matchup. I mean, I don't think the Knicks are any great shakes at defending point guards. So, you know, I do like me some Isaiah Thomas tomorrow.
Tell me Derrick Rose and Brandon Jennings don't strike fear into your heart defensively.
No Achilles Jennings and Derrick Rose, quite possibly the smartest player in the league. Yeah, I'm quaking.
Dude, I will say I was happy to see Jennings get like 11 assists last game. He started to finally get some more minutes. So when that season-ending Derrick Rose injury happens, like I can't wait to pick up Jennings in like season-long leagues and to play him in DFS.
Oh, that's mean. I'm not going to go there.
Look, for what Derrick Rose has done off the court, that is not mean at all. We'll just leave it at that. Anyway, moving on, Kemba Walker, man, dude, I've this guy has been my cash game point guard like the last week. He's been beautiful for me, just super solid. You know, him and Kevin Love, you just put him in your lineup and you just have a blissful night of sleep. You just sleep peacefully. I don't need to take NyQuil. I don't need to take Melatonin. I don't need to take any of that crap. An Ambien. It's just he's super solid, super consistent. I really like this game. I like both point guards in this game versus Toronto. Kemba, you know, but this year 33, 35, 38, 33, 35, 46, 42. I mean, you could say the ceiling is not the best in the world. So maybe he's not the best tournament play. Also because Charlotte, you know, doesn't play at the best pace. But I think for cash games, he's just rock solid, man.
Yeah, no, I can definitely see that. I love the matchup. I think it's a great play tomorrow.
Yeah, so like I said, they are playing versus Toronto, so versus Kyle Lowry. Lowry's actually a pretty good defender. That's the one thing that has me maybe like 2% nervous about Kemba, but not enough where I would be discouraged from playing him. But Kyle Lowry, I will definitely have some lineups with Kemba and Kyle because – Lowry is still too cheap. The next two point guards are too cheap. Lowry and Kyrie Irving. So Lowry is 7.8K. He's had like one stinker. I guess he's had a couple stinkers early on in the year, but part of that is because DeMar DeRozan has somehow turned into a, like, Michael Jordan for the first couple weeks of the year. That's got to end at some point. I don't care how – like, I don't care if DeMar DeRozan plays this well for 81 games. I will still say it has to end at some point. But I still like Kyle Lowry. I'm going to play him in some tournaments on Friday. That's 7.8. He's more of like an 8.5K player. So I think at 7.8K, you're still getting him at a little bit of a discount. The pace of this game is not going to be the best in the world, but he'll be low owned. He does have upside. Give me some Lowry on Friday.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's been a lot more hit or miss than I remember. He's had three games under 28 FanDuel points, and he's had three games over 40 FanDuel points this year. 39 right in there is the value you kind of want for him. So he's had three games already this season where he's gotten more than that for you. And, I mean, I just think that price is a little too cheap, like you said, so it's a pretty good play.
Yeah, the only reason why I say malarkey to some of what you just said, because like two of those crappy three games were the first two of the season when he put up 28 and 19. So like the last three he's been very good. He's been 46, 41, and 37 FanDuel points. So that's, you know, and even more beautifully than that, 43 minutes, 39 minutes, 41 minutes. I mean, you know, he's
I'm
locked
impressed
in.
You're talking good about him. Not calling him chunky and
No, he's
an unusual stick.
No, he's Panera Bread Lowry, man. He's still skinny. He's skinny Kyle Lowry. He's not Waffle House Lowry of like 2 years ago.
All right, Waffle House boy.
Yeah, so 7.8K. I think that's a very fair price. The next guy though it's funny when you look at, you know, all these players and salaries go up and down. Like this guy's salary just does not move, and that's Kyrie Irving. 7.4K at Washington. Cleveland, I think, is coming off their first loss of the year. He's just, I mean, we all know the talent of Kyrie Irving. I was gonna say Kyle Lowry. Now you have me thinking of the movie Bad Boys. Also, are you first of all, have you seen that movie? Are you too young to have seen that or no?
Oh no, that was like in my childhood ish.
With what's his name?
Will Smith and Martin Lawrence.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I've seen that movie like 100 times. Yeah, I used to love that movie when I was a kid.
And then they made a second one. I think they're making a third one now. And now I think Martin – how old is Martin Lawrence now? Is he like 50 or 60? He's got to be.
I can look that up. I'm not anyway. Keeping up on how old Martin Lawrence is.
That's right. I mean, he hasn't been in anything.
Martin Lawrence is 51, man.
Wow, yeah, he hasn't been in anything in a long time. He used to be super funny. Anyway, Kyrie Irving.
Oh, dude, you can go to his stand-up show. It's coming to your hometown.
Is it really New York City? I don't know. Maybe he's not funny anymore.
Man, you can be there.
No, that's okay. I'll play DFS instead. So, Kyrie Irving.
You can take your winnings and go to the show.
No, Kyrie Irving, 7.4K. That's too cheap for him. He's. I guess one reason his price is not going up, maybe because the fact that his like ceiling appears to be somewhat limited. Like he hasn't topped 41 FanDuel points this year. I mean, he had 40 last game and he's super consistent. He's had one stinker of 21 FanDuel points, but I think he's really safe. If you want to use him on cash on Friday, right now I have him in a cash game lineup. I may change that, but I think he's safe and he's going to bust out for a big game. One of these days, John Wall is a pretty decent defender, but you know, I think Irving on Friday is a fine play.
I just think the price is too low, like you mentioned, and so yeah, I'm definitely going to be playing a lot of Irving tomorrow.
I'm trying to think what like the over under of this game. What do you think it will be?
It probably
won't be that great because Cleveland does not play at the best pace.
I was thinking like 204 to 205 somewhere in there.
Yeah, I was thinking like 202, 204. Yeah, so right in there. So, all right. Moving on. Jeff Teague. Wow, sexy Jeff Teague coming off a monster, Tyler. 51 FanDuel points last game against the same team he's playing on Friday, Philly. So due to recency bias, I think Teague's going to be a popular play on Friday. So for that reason, for tournaments, I'm probably going to fade him a lot. But another guy, I think it's relatively safe, man. If you want to use in cash at that price against that crappy team, against Sergio Hernandez or Fernandez or whatever the hell that guy's name is. I think he's an okay play.
Yeah, I'll mention that he played 41 minutes and he hit 10 of his 16 shots and 9 of 10 from the free throw line in that game. So he was clearly had a shot going. He also had 9 assists and a block, which that's you're not expecting that from Jeff Teague. I like the play tomorrow, though. I just don't think Philly really plays any defense. And, I mean, it's a relatively cheap price for a solid point guard.
Yep, and remember, as of right now, that's the highest over-under of the game, over-under of the day, that game, that Indiana-Philly game. Next up, Elfrid Payton. I mean, dear God, Orlando Magic, get your act together. I mean, you're annoying all of us. Elfrid is 5.7K versus Utah, so not the best matchup in the world. This over-under is not on the board yet because we're waiting on news about George Hill. The over-under is probably going to be fairly pathetic. This game I probably don't want a ton of action on, and I will not be using a lot of Elfrid Payton either.
No, I think it's worth mentioning just because he's been boom or bust. He's actually reached the value there at 5.7K in 4 of the 8 games, but then he's also had 2 games under 14 FanDuel points. So, I mean, he's kind of been riding the oscillating wave up and down, and Utah just kind of a bad matchup. I don't love the play tomorrow, but I think some people are going to go for him.
Yeah. I mean, I think the prices is, you know, puts him in play. Just tough matchup, lots of good options at point guard, and, you know, just some troubling things going on in Orlando. Not to mention the last 3 games, he hasn't even played 30 minutes, so that also makes me a little. Granted, I think 1 or 2 of those were blowouts, but. Yeah, you could probably do better than Elfrid on Friday. Next up, a guy whose name I probably just butchered, and that's Sergio Fernandez / Rodriguez.
/Harris/Johnson/.
Well, those aren't. No, you gotta at least have this like the same a Mexican sounding name. So this guy's actually
he's Spanish.
My apologies, Mr. Rodriguez. This guy, no, he's actually somewhat fun to watch. I don't, you know, he's just not sexy. I don't think he has much of a ceiling. You know, his fantasy points per minute aren't that great. But he is locked into about 30 minutes. I think he's got a relatively safe floor. So he's more of a cash game player in my view. Or if you know, on small slates where you want to save money. I do like the fact that it's a high-paced game. Makes him a little bit more appealing. But, you know, the last 2 games, 16 FanDuel points and 19 FanDuel points, and that's with playing 30 minutes, basically. So, you know, not a lot of bang for your buck, but, you know, a guy that, you know, you can play if you really want some action of that game.
Here's one thing I'll say about it, and maybe not so much for DFS, but for your season-long leagues. He's been getting good assists, and he's been getting good steals. And I think he's available in a lot of leagues. They play a back-to-back tomorrow and then on Saturday. If you need assists and steals in your weekly matchup, this is a guy you can pick up, get some good production there, cut him for Sunday, pick up someone else, and might win your week.
Yep. I'm with you. I'm with you on that season-long advice. Where are we? Okay, next up, point guard number 12 on Friday, Marcus Smart. I guess he should win points for – if he got points for getting John Wall ejected, that would be nice. But 4.9K, he's another guy for me that just doesn't have much of a ceiling. Now, he did get extra minutes on Boston's last game because I think they benched Jaylen Brown, who was struggling. So I think Marcus Smart started the second half and ended up playing 36 minutes. So he had 25 FanDuel points. Look, if you told me he's going to get 36 minutes – he become a little more intriguing to me. I'm looking at the box scores now. Last 4 games, he's actually played, you know, around 30, 31 minutes. So not a horrible play here. I just think he's got an okay floor, but the ceiling just isn't that great. So I think on a 8-game slate, you can do better in tournaments.
And here's something I think that might happen a little bit. He scored 20 actual points in his last game. And so I think some people might think, oh, you know, he's picking it up. He's turning it on, whatever. His price is real cheap, you know, good matchup against the Knicks. And I actually think he might be kind of high-owned. And I actually think that if you fade him, you know what I mean, you might get a little bit there.
Yeah. Lastly, we can mention return of the Mac, Shelvin Mack. If George Hill is out, if you want to play the Mac Daddy, you can. 3.9K. Look, nothing sexy here, but if you're playing Shelvin Mack, he's going to get 24, 26 minutes and put up 18, 19 FanDuel points. So if you want to punt at point guard and be able to roster, big mopey DeMarcus Cousins and Blake Griffin and LeBron and Westbrook, maybe then you can punt with Shelvin Mack. Otherwise, a guy with not a great ceiling. So don't get crazy with Mac Daddy.
I also mentioned just make sure that he's actually getting the start and going to play. George Hill is questionable with that thumb injury. So it's kind of 50-50 right now if he's in or he's out. So just check it up.
Yeah. And lastly, I guess we can say, since you mentioned George Hill, if George Hill does play, he's 6.3K. Like, that to me, that's a little pricey for George Hill. I mean, I know he's had some games this year he's had one game of 43 FanDuel points, but 6.3K for George Hill, that's pretty pricey. So like, I wouldn't want a ton of exposure in that game versus at Orlando, probably, if George Hill does play. But he'll be low owned, I'll say that.
Plus, I think you got the potential of maybe that game being a blowout. And you got Alfred Payton guarding him, who Alfred Payton is a decent defender, I think. And so I'm not loving the George Hill play tomorrow at that price.
All right, Tyler, take us through shooting guards, man.
All right, top shooting guard on the board. You got DeMar DeRozan all the way up to 9K now at Charlotte. He's had 42, 44, 42, 56, 41, 31, and then 53 FanDuel points so far this year. What are you thinking about DeRozan tomorrow?
Yeah, I don't want to live in a world where DeMar DeRozan, a one-trick pony, is 9K. I just don't want to do it, Tyler. Look, he needs 45 FanDuel points to hit value. He's done that twice this year. Even though, he's right now leading the league in scoring, playing out of his mind, and second or third in the league in usage rate. Like, he's been tremendous. But at 9K, where's the upside there? I would need him to get 60 FanDuel points for him to really, truly pay off for me. I mean, if he has 40 FanDuel points, that's a bad night, or that's not enough for me at this price now. So we're getting into uncharted territory with DeRozan. I'm probably going to fade a lot. I will be very intrigued to see how his ownership is on. And it's a game against Charlotte. It's going to be a very slow paced game. So I'm going to be intrigued to see where his ownership is. I probably will fade him.
Yeah, no, I'm thinking the same thing. Just the price is too much, a little bit too much for me, and I'm not loving that matchup.
But he's been great. He's been amazing. I mean, shooting the ball and scoring.
Oh, no doubt about that. But that doesn't mean it'll happen again tomorrow.
No. There we go.
Next guy up, you got CJ McCollum, 7.1K. He's had three games this year where he scored more than 47 FanDuel points, and then three games where he scored less than 21 FanDuel points. They're coming off that crazy blowout game the other night where he got a whopping 12.8 FanDuel points on Wednesday. What are you thinking about McCollum tomorrow against Sacramento?
Yeah, I mean, the game against the Clippers, I'm kind of throwing out the window. I mean, the two before that, he was phenomenal. He had a 37 and 33 actual points and 54 and 48 FanDuel points, played average 38 minutes. So, the minutes and shots are there. If there's going to be a one-trick pony, I'm going to play a shooting guard tomorrow. It's going to be McCollum and not DeRozan for $2,000 cheaper. I don't mind this play at all. For tournaments, I'm probably going to play, I'll have some exposure to McCollum on Friday.
Yeah, I totally agree there. Next guy up, you got Avery Bradley, 6.9K against the Knicks. Last three games, he's had 33, 38, and 40 FanDuel points. What are you thinking about Bradley tomorrow against the Knickerbockers?
Yeah, this is another guy whose price now, it's just, I can't believe that we live in a world where Avery Bradley is almost a 7K player. But it's justified. If you watch him play, if you look at the box scores, you look at his usage rate, you look at his shots, you look at the minutes, dear God, he's got to be top five in the league in minutes. It's hard for me to get super excited for Avery Bradley because another guy who I don't think has a massive ceiling. I think, when you're talking about 7K, you need 35 FanDuel points to hit value. I think he can get you there, but not do much more. So I think he's a decent cash game play. And you can throw him in tournaments, but it's just that price has me a little bit scared now. And I'll be looking elsewhere for the most part.
Yeah, no, I mean, I never thought that Avery Bradley would be almost 7K. So I'll agree with you there. Next guy up, a guy I kind of like tomorrow, Nick Batum, 6.2K versus Toronto. He's coming off his worst game of the year where he had 19.9 FanDuel points. Every other game before that, he had been kind of somewhere between 26 and 32 FanDuel points. I will say that he's been struggling a little bit with his shot so far this year. So what are you thinking about Nick Batum tomorrow?
Yeah, I mean, Nick Batum makes me angry. I remember like five years ago, I had him in like season long leagues, and everyone was back when he was on Portland, everyone was so excited. Oh, look at the talent on this guy. Like, he can do anything. Like, he can do everything on the court. Like, he's going to be Portland's, like, he's going to be Portland, like the face of the Portland franchise for the future. It just never panned out for him. And last year, then he went to Charlotte. He had a good year in a contract year, albeit. So, and then this year he hasn't looked the same. I mean, he also dealt with a lot of lingering injuries throughout the years. His wrist, you know, which impacted his shooting. I swear his wrist was like broken for like 2 years because he couldn't shoot. It was so annoying. But yeah, so this year he just hasn't looked right. He's only hit 30 FanDuel points one time this year. I mean, come on, Nick Batum, that's not what I'm looking for. I mean, he's been under 12 actual points, 5 games, 5 out of 7 games this year. He can't even get you more than 12 actual points. Like, that's pretty crappy. It's pretty annoying. You know, versus Toronto, not the best matchup in the world. I think he'll be low owned. So for tournaments, if you want to play him, that's fine. But I'm just not expecting a ton from him until I see otherwise right now.
Here's what I'll say about it. He is shooting 36.4% from the year and a 27.5% from 3-point land. He's a career 35.9% 3-point shooter and 44.1% shooter from the field. They're playing Toronto tomorrow. They're at home. I don't know that DeMar DeRozan cares to guard anyone. I think he probably could if he wanted to, but he works so hard on offense that he's not really working that hard on defense. And so I think he might be a sneaky opportunity to kind of have his biggest game of the year tomorrow.
Are you calling it? Is Nick Batum your sneaky ninja on Friday?
He is.
Interesting.
He's my ninja.
Interesting. All right.
Good
luck with that.
All right. We'll see what happens. Next guy up, you got Victor Oladipo, 5.5K versus the Clippers. He's only got value in 2 of his 8 games, but I recommended him on Wednesday, and he rewarded me with a 33.6 FanDuel point game. What do you think about Oladipo?
Yeah, I played him a lot on Wednesday. I think me and you did the show, that show recommending him. Like, his price is, you know, Oladipo was about a 7.5K player on Orlando. I think eventually he settled in maybe around 7K, 7.2K last year. But he was, you know, obviously, with Westbrook, he's not going to get the same opportunities shooting the ball. He's still locked into heavy minutes. His role in the offense is expanding slowly. It's taking some time. But last game, he looked good, man. He did a lot of things on the court. He had 18 actual points, 8 rebounds, which was nice to see, a couple steals, then 30, like, it's, you know, I don't know if you said it or not, but 34 FanDuel points. So I think at 5.5K, I think when you know you're locked into like 35 minutes a night, in going to be a game against the Clippers, that means JJ Redick's probably going to be guarding him. You know, that's a nice matchup for Oladipo. He's going to be, I'm definitely going to have a lot, or I don't know a lot, but a decent amount of exposure on Friday from him for sure.
Yeah, no, I totally agree there. Next guy up, you got same price, 5.5K, Evan Fournier against the Jazz. He's had 4 games under 17.6 FanDuel points this year, including the last 3. He's also had 4 games where he's had 28 or more FanDuel points. What are you thinking about Fournier for Friday's action?
Yeah, he's been super frustrating to own, man. The last 3 games, 18 FanDuel points, 16 and 16. Just infuriating. You're talking about a guy who has potential to give you 50 FanDuel points. He did it last year for a stretch. You know, we thought he's going to be Orlando's first or second option this year. And nothing is working out. Now you're talking about a matchup versus Utah. I mean, the good thing about Fournier, his price has dipped down. It was about $6K a couple of days ago. Now it's $5.5K. So you look at the price, you're like, wow, that's a decent price. But for not, I mean, he's been such a volatile player. He's a tournament only play for me on Friday, and you know I'm not going to have a ton of exposure. I'll probably throw him in a couple lineups just because he does have that upside. But I am not happy with Mr. Fournier. That's for sure.
Yeah, no, he's definitely been very frustrating. Next guy up, you got Rodney Hood, 5.4K. I'm just thinking this is a little too cheap still. He's had 28, 34, 28, 33, 25, and 33 FanDuel points in his last six games. What do you think about Rodney Hood in that game against Orlando tomorrow?
I mean, he's just been a consistency monster. He's been fantastic all year, quite honestly. I think he had one dud against the Clippers for like seven FanDuel points. Other than that, he's been basically a floor of 25 FanDuel points, which basically gives you value at his price. Versus Orlando, that's a, you know, a pretty decent matchup for him. You know, I thought, you know, I was a little concerned when Gordon Hayward came back, that, you know, some of his value would take a dip. But the minutes are still there. The shots are still there. And I think he's a fine play. I mean, I think he's safe. And if you want to use him in tournaments, I think that's fine to do as well on Friday.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm definitely slotting him in a lot of my cash games tomorrow. I just think that safe floor is there, and he's just going to give you some good value.
Yeah.
Next guy up, you got Bradley Beal, 5.3K versus Cleveland. He's questionable with a hamstring injury, which really scares me. What are you thinking about Bradley Beal tomorrow?
First of all, just check the news and see if he's playing. I mean, I would be surprised if he plays. You know, with a hamstring, you got to be super cautious. And I do like the price. I mean, I was before he got hurt, I was playing him because he's too talented to be that cheap. But for a Friday, probably not.
And here's what I'll say too: even if he's playing, I think I'm going to avoid, just because hamstring injuries are one thing that I find flares up a lot. And so he could play 5 minutes, flare up that hammy, and completely give you no value.
And I wish I had the guy's name. I blame a Twitter follower that we had who tweeted me after Bradley Beal had a horrendous first half and basically got benched for Washington. And then played like 6 or 7 minutes. And then someone tweeted at me, like, what happened to Bradley Beal? And I'm like, he just got benched because like Otto Porter was out of his mind and they were going with a different lineup. And then started the third quarter, Bradley Beal, you know, pulled a hamstring. So.
All right, next guy up.
I blame the Twitter follower.
Next guy up, you got KCP, 4.7K against the Spurs tomorrow. What are you thinking about KCP?
Dude, man, I love KCP. Like, I'm all over this guy. He's talented. He's, like, he's so dirt cheap. I don't know why he's 4.7K. I mean, you know, I know he – when Detroit got blown up by the Clippers, he put up 2.2 FanDuel points, and that was a debacle. And then to start the season, he started off with two games, about 11 or 10, 11 FanDuel points. So I guess that's why he's priced so low. But he's had games, he like, you know, last game, 37 FanDuel points, 42 minutes, 27 actual points. He's had several games over 30 FanDuel points. So if you're telling me a guy like pretty easily can give me like 6-7 times value, like that's a guy that I want in my lineups. Like that's a guy who I will be playing in tournaments for sure. I mean, you know, is he probably a cash game play just because he is capable of, you know, of giving you 10 FanDuel points and Stan Van Gundy can pull anyone at any given moment? Sure, I mean, that could happen. So maybe I don't want to play him in cash, or maybe you don't want to, but I think you got to use him in some tournaments. Next up, Tyler, J.R. Smith, 4.2K. You know what? Let's do the next three fast. I mean, J.R. Smith, 4.2K at Washington. J.J. Redick, 3.9K at OKC. And Crabs or whatever you want versus Sacramento at 3.6K. Look, if you want to punt at shooting guard, all three of these guys I think are fine. I think J.R. Smith probably, you know, has been is he the most consistent out of these three? I don't know, but he probably has the biggest ceiling out of these three. Quite honestly, I don't want any of these on Friday. I think they're just better options. J.J. Redick, I mean, is interesting. 3.9K for him, I think is a little cheap. I think that price has gone down. His production's been down because the Clippers have blown everyone out. If J.J. Redick gets 25, 28 minutes, maybe he can get 30 minutes if a game stays close. he's going to get 20 to 22 FanDuel points, which would be above value. So, you know, if you want a safe play, if you want to use in cash games, maybe, you know, I could see you using JJ Redick if you want to get a bunch of stars. But the other guys, yeah. I don't want these guys, you know, too much. I mean, if you want to throw a couple and, you know, a couple darts in tournaments, go ahead. But I'm not going to play a ton of these guys.
I'm with you, especially with the options right there around that 5.5 to, you know, 4.7K range, where there's some a lot more guys that are a lot more solid and going to give you a lot more points for the extra, you know, 2,000 I'm going to probably spend up on them.
Yeah, I mean, hold on. Real quick, I'm checking Mr. Crab, his stats, to make sure I'm not missing anything.
No, I mean, he started in the last game.
Yeah. I mean, the thing with him is he's just not – like, his fantasy points per minute are so piss poor, you know?
Well, and he offers not much of anything.
Right, exactly. Except a very cheap salary. And a really weird picture on FanDuel.
I'll agree with that. He actually looks like a guy I know in that picture, so that's really strange.
All right, let's go to small forward, man. So LeBron, 9.9K at Washington. Normally, Washington, you know, is horrendous, and Otto Porter are horrendous at guarding the you know, the wing players, the three position. So, you know, but look, it's LeBron James. What else do you want me to say? I guess one thing I can say is the ceiling for him this year has not been spectacular. I mean, I think it's only been about 56 Fando points. But he's basically – he's been super consistent, right around 50-50 every game. So you want to use him in cash, fine. GPPs, go ahead. I think he's a, you know, a very nice play on Friday like he always is.
Yep.
Next up, Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi's 8.9K, first Detroit. The Spurs have been struggling lately. They've lost like two or three games at home already this year. I think they lost one game at home all of last year. But the one guy who's been consistent for them is Kawhi. Kawhi should be about 9.5K. He's still underpriced. I don't love the game versus Detroit. It's going to be an ugly, slow-paced game. But Kawhi's fine for cash games, and he's got the upside, too, if you want to use him in tournaments. I mean, I'm totally fine with it.
Yep.
PG-13, he sucked all year, basically. He struggled to hit value. I think he had his best game of the year against Philly on Wednesday, who they play on Friday. He's 8.5K, so that's probably the cheapest you're going to get Paul George. 28 actual points, 42 FanDuel points on Wednesday. I'm still not comfortable enough to play him in cash because he's been too volatile this year. But for tournaments on Friday against Philly, he could explode, and I think he'll be low-owned because there's so many options, especially small forward is loaded. So I think he's a very intriguing tournament play on Friday.
I'm just afraid to play him because he's auditioning for that new NFL punting job, and I'm afraid he might skip town on us, start playing for the Colts.
I don't even know what that means. Is that like a joke, or what is he auditioning for?
A new punting job, man. You didn't see him punt the ball in the stands?
Oh, yeah, funny. I'm not laughing at that at all because I had him. I had a lot of him that night, and he cost me a lot of money, so that's not funny. Damn you, Paul George. Next up. My John Malkovich play of the night, Carmelo Anthony, Tyler, 7.7K at Boston. I do like the fact that Jay Crowder's not playing because Jay Crowder scares the hell out of me. I don't want to play anyone versus Jay Crowder. He's so scary on defense. But, I mean, Carmelo, he's a fine play. You want to use him in cash? Okay. 7.7K. I mean, my problem with him and the reason why I say he's the Being John Malkovich play of the day is he just has no ceiling. It's like the, in the movie Being John Malkovich, how they all, you know, he works in the space with like a two foot ceiling. You know, he has to like basically crawl in his office. Like, that's Carmelo these days. Like, it's just very hard to envision him giving you like a 45, 50 FanDuel point night, which he used to do like regularly. It's just like Derrick Rose takes a lot of those shots now. They're finally giving the ball to Porzingis. And to Carmelo's credit, he just doesn't gun the ball like he used to. So for all of those reasons, I think he's an okay play. I just don't think he's got a monster ceiling anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I agree there. What's sad is some of our listeners probably weren't even born when Being John Malkovich came out.
That's probably true. And they probably don't even know who John Malkovich is. You guys should all watch that movie. It's a very, very, very stellar movie. Next up, Rudy Gay. 7.6K. Rudy Gay, he's basically been a poor man's DeMar DeRozan this year. He's been, you know, a one-trick pony who, you know, we all kind of know what Rudy Gay's game is. But this year, for whatever reason, he's been shooting the ball really well. Usage rate's gone up. It seems like Sacramento has, you know, and this is part of that. You know, I'm not sure how much Dave Yeager, what he's done that to that offense, because it still sucks and they're still getting blown out every game. But it seems like Rudy Gay is more and more involved in that offense. And he's had a better year. He's just been playing really well, really solid ball. Very fair FanDuel price, you know. But again, I just don't think you get monster upside with him, and you're so scoring dependent. It just never makes me want to play a ton of Rudy Gay. I think it's a fine matchup at Portland, which would be a pretty high paced game. So you know, I'll probably have a little bit of exposure, but not a ton.
Yeah, and you got the second of a back-to-back. I mean, a lot of scary things out there for Rudy Gay tomorrow, and at that price, you know, there's a lot of guys I think I'd just rather have than him.
Yeah, he's definitely not a guy I'd play for cash on that back-to-back. I mean, I think he's a tournament-only play on Friday.
Yep.
Gordon Hayward. Man, where have you been, Gordon? 7.4K at Orlando. He's really come out blazing this year. He's only played three games for Utah, but he's been great in all three of them, 31, 35, and 43 FanDuel points, and 28, 20, and 29 actual points in those games. Just, I mean, man, no rust on this guy at all. You know, he's already settled into basically what he was priced last year. I still don't really – I still am not going to use him in cash games, but you probably – you know, you probably could – I will not, but I will use him in some tournaments on Friday against Orlando. A decent matchup. I don't love the pace, but it's okay. So, I mean, I'll have a little exposure to Gordon Hayward.
I'll say this. If I have 7.7K left and I have to pick a small forward, I'm picking him over Rudy Gay and Carmelo.
Yeah. I would probably rank them Hayward, Melo, Gay. I don't know what else to say. I'm not quite honestly. I don't love any of those three. But yeah, if I had to choose, I guess Hayward.
I feel you.
Next up, Otto Porter, another guy. Like you look at the name and the salary, and you're like, how did that happen? 6K. I mean, about a week ago, people were just screaming at him. People were irate. He was costing everyone money. Then he gets a 40 FanDuel point night. Everyone's like, all right, well, he had a decent game. Then he had a 69 FanDuel point night, which I don't think anyone envisioned that he could do. 34 points, 14 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 blocks, and 3 steals versus Boston on Wednesday. So his price has skyrocketed at 6K versus Cleveland, versus LeBron. No thank you on Friday. Hopefully I can play you next week, Otto.
What's crazy is other than KD, I think he has the highest FanDuel point game for a small forward.
Yeah. I mean, 69. That's look at those stats. That's crazy. I mean, not so many players in the NBA can even do that. So that came out of nowhere for him. I mean, the only thing, I guess if Bradley Beal does not play, maybe I'll use like one lineup with Otto Porter just in case.
Yeah, I mean, I think he kind of becomes the number two scoring option then. But even still at 6K, I don't love it.
Next up, Aaron Gordon, 5.6K versus Utah. I mean, F you to the whole Orlando Magic team. I don't want to even talk about any of their players. I mean, God forbid when we get to Serge Ibaka in a few minutes. 13 FanDuel points his last game. I mean, I don't know. I keep waiting for him to break out, and it just doesn't happen. You know, his ceiling has basically been 33 FanDuel points. Like, why he does, like, he's I mean, it just is so annoying. I'm so frustrated even mentioning this guy. Like, get a dang rebound, Aaron Gordon. 4 rebounds each of the last 3 games. 5 out of the 8 games that Orlando's played this year, he's grabbed 4 or fewer rebounds. I'm pretty sure if I was in an NBA game, I could get 4 rebounds, Tyler.
Yeah, no, I will say this, he's getting 10 10.3 shots a game.
That's not even good either.
But he's only shooting 40%, okay? And if he can get the rebound numbers even – I mean, he's playing six more minutes than he played last year, and he's averaging 1.2 less rebounds a game.
Yeah. That's because he's standing so far on the three-point line now.
But if he can kind of acclimate himself here to this new role and kind of get that field goal percentage up to – he's a 46% shooter for his career. The ceiling is going to go up a little bit, but, I mean, I'm definitely not counting on that for tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, one day he's going to have a big game, but just God only knows what's going on with Orlando. And Frank Vogel, do your job. Coach that team up. Next up, MKG. He's a game-time decision. He's got a back issue. Fade. You know, if he ends up playing and you want to throw him in some tournaments, go ahead. But he's basically got 19 FanDuel points the last two games. He started the season opener, he had 44 FanDuel points. Four out of the six games since then, he hasn't even hit half of that. So, no thank you.
I'm with you there.
Yeah, Bob Covington, Lord Covington. I think we made fun of calling him Lord Covington, Tyler, a couple days ago. And then he showed us why he is royalty. He finally made his three-pointers. He had 33 minutes, had 23 actual points, 36 FanDuel points. A very beautiful up-tempo matchup, highest over-under of the day so far, you know, with only four games, with four over-unders released so far versus Indiana. His price is still dirt cheap at 4.7K. I like me some Covington for tournaments, man. He's a boomer bust player, but in tournaments, give me some of that on Friday.
Well, and I think it's worth mentioning that 36 FanDuel point game was against Indiana.
It was.
And they're playing Indiana.
They are.
Yeah, no, I mean, I like it in tournaments, but I'm definitely not putting him in my cash games. I don't think he's safe, but I think he could go off.
The last two guys, if you want to punt, Mo Harkless. So I think someone is banged up for Portland. Is it Aminu? Is that who's banged up?
Tariq Aminu is out, officially listed as out for tomorrow.
Okay, so that means is Harkless starting?
Harkless had been starting at small forward, but now he's kind of playing power forward, and Crabb is kind of moving in there, starting small forward.
Yeah, I mean, Harkless is another one of those guys that's just – he's not sexy. He's you know, he gives you a – I don't know. I mean, last game, I guess they got blown up by the Clippers. But so I guess if the game's – if he's starting and the game stays close, he's going to get 30-plus minutes. If he's getting 30-plus minutes versus a crappy Sacramento team, you know, I think he's got a safe floor. And if you're looking to punt and save so you can spend up on stars, I mean, I think you can do it on Friday. I'm totally fine with that.
Here's what I'll say about it. He throw out that Clippers game, like you said. I mean, it was a blowout by halftime, it seemed like. And yeah. So he only got 22 minutes. Four games before that, 35, 32, 34, 33 minutes. If you're looking for FanDuel points, he had 24, 17, 30, and 30. He only needs to get you like 22.5 FanDuel points to get value. He got that in three out of the four games. He got big minutes. So I don't hate the play tomorrow. I mean, I actually kind of like him.
All right. Let's go to power forward. Tyler, take us away.
Let's do it. Blake Griffin, 8.7K at Oklahoma City. What are you thinking about Blake tomorrow?
I love Blake. Right now, I'm using a ton of him. I mean, I've been waiting all year to unleash Blake. And I have. This price is too cheap for him. These damn Clipper games, man. They can't stay close. Clippers are too good right now. I think this game at Oklahoma City stays close finally. Like, the last three games, Blake's been under 30 minutes, and he's still producing really solid games of 51, 38, and 41 FanDuel points. He needs to give me like 43 FanDuel points hit value. I think that's very easy for him. If he gets 32, 34, 35 minutes, he's going to hit value, man. I really like the play. Yeah, just like lock and load. I'm all aboard Blake Griffin on Friday.
I'll say this too. You like the matchup. I mean, Domantas Sabonis, Enes Kanter.
Yeah, or dear God, be Kanter. Oh, even better.
I don't know that they're going to throw Steven Adams on that much. And even if they do, I think that Blake has the athleticism advantage there and the quickness to kind of get past Steven Adams a little bit. So I think Blake's a great play tomorrow. Next guy up, you got Kevin Love, 7.5K at Washington. This is your cash game special, I'm sure, so let's hear about it.
Yeah, no, I mean, I tell you, it's Kevin Love is very easy. I mean, him and Kyrie, it's just, I think that's who I said for my other guy, right? You just put him in your lineup and you have a nice night's sleep. Or no, that was Kemba. That was Kemba Walker, not Kyrie. So, I mean, Kevin Love has been one of my favorite cash game plays. For a large portion last year, but a lot more this year. I think we talked about it a couple of shows ago. He's just he came into this season in much better shape. He's a much more vital part of that offense. The usage rate has gone up. The touches have gone up. But his price it hasn't. It's 7.5K. That's too cheap for him. He should be an 8K player at Washington. I think he's too big for Markieff, quite honestly. If that's going to be that's who's matched up against him. I think he's just a very, very nice play. I mean, he's safe. He's not a guy, like Blake, who would give you like a 50, 60 Bando point night. I don't think Kevin Love's going to do that these days, but he's going to, if you want to play him in cash and you want a really nice, safe guy, I think that's Kevin Love right now.
Yeah. Next guy on the board is Marcus Aldridge. I'll just say that he scored 47 points in his season opener and he's averaging about 25 Fanduel points since. 7.3K is just way too high of a salary, even against Detroit tomorrow. I don't think either one of us are touching him.
Yeah, the only reason you play Aldridge, if you're a guy like me, you play lots and lots and lots of lineups, and you just want to differentiate yourself in tournaments. You want someone super low owned. You play one lineup with LaMarcus Aldridge, but like you said, I mean, I think of him and I think Timber, because that tree's been falling down, and it's just been ugly with him. So since that season opener.
Next guy on the board, you got Kristaps Porzingis, 6.9K at Boston. He's been good in his last three games. He's had 35, 41, and 38 FanDuel points. What are you thinking about Kristaps tomorrow?
Yeah, I mean, I am a big fan of Porzingis. I love attacking Boston bigs. The Knicks are finally getting him the ball. The last three games, 27, 28, 21 actual points, 35, 41, 38 FanDuel points. Porzingis is I don't think he's a cash game play yet for me, but tournaments, go ahead and Friday and have fun.
Yeah, no, totally agree there. The next guy might be my favorite player on the board, Derek Favors, 5.9K at Orlando. I just think this price is ridiculously cheap, and for some reason it's not going up. What are you thinking about Favors tomorrow?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. This is the one guy out of everyone you look at and you stare at because you're like, this must be a mistake. I don't understand how his price couldn't have went up, especially when the last two games he's given you 41 and 32 Fando points. And, even the juiciest thing out of all is that he played 35 minutes last game. Like, I can see Fando keeping his price that low if he was on a minute restriction of like 25 minutes, but he's not. And he's 5.9K. This is a guy who has 50, 60 Fando point, but, upside, maybe not 60, but he's about 1.5K too cheap right now, and take advantage of it while you can. I mean, cash games, fantastic play, and tournaments as well. I mean, power forwards is loaded on Friday.
Favors is going to, I'm definitely locking into a lot of my lineups tomorrow. Next guy up, you got Tobias Harris, 5.8K against the Spurs. The price is going crazy down because he hasn't been very good in his last three games. What are you thinking about Tobias tomorrow?
Yeah, I mean, Tobias, I'm going to use in one or two tournaments. I mean, 5.8K is too cheap for him. But like you said, last three have been ugly. 15, 15, and 20. Not a great matchup versus Spurs. I mean, ugh. So everything screams fade. But, if you want to throw him in a dart in a tournament, you can. But, only good thing is that he was about 6.5K about a week ago. Now he's 5.8. But other than that, all signs are trending downward.
Yeah, no, and you don't love the matchup. He gets a lot of their shots, and so they might even try to stick Kawhi Leonard on him, which would make things even worse. So I'm not loving that. Next up, you got Markieff, 5.4K against Cleveland. What are you even thinking about Markieff?
I think he's crushed my wallet the last two games because he's been a boom or bust kind of play all year, but the last two have been they personally insulted me, Tyler. I've been personally offended by his performance, especially last game where he gave me 17 minutes and 13 Fando points. It's just been a roller coaster of a year with him. I mean, if you look at his game logs, 36, 23, 13, 36, 34, 18, and 13. So, he's a volatile volcano, GPP only, not the best matchup in the world against Cleveland. you know, but he does have some upside. So if you, you know, you can put him in some tournaments if you want.
It's only like a 3-hour drive for me to Washington. You want me to drive down there and try to have a chat with him, get your money back from him?
I mean, if you want, I mean, he's probably not the most agreeable guy to talk to. But yeah, if you want, you should actually talk to John Wall too, if you're gonna talk to him.
All right.
What's going on with that team?
I'll put it on my calendar for tomorrow.
Thanks.
Serge Ibaka's next guy up, 5.3K versus Utah. I know you have some strong feelings, so I'll let you go.
You want to read my note?
No, I'll not read your note. I'll just let you chat about it.
My notes are basically just all cuss words because that's what I think of him. He's – wow. Like, I remember when he started the year off, he was like – his price was something crazy. It was like 4.8, 4.9K, and I was like, this is criminal. And it turns out that was very fair.
Turns out the joke was on you, huh?
Yeah, I mean, then his price went up to about 6K. Now it's back down to 5.3. He's been a disaster, an utter disaster, a debacle, just a miserable person. There's nothing positive I can say about him. 2 rebounds last game. 2 rebounds, Tyler. He's only had 2 games this year, over 25 Bando points, and that's been barely. Versus Utah, and Derek Favors is a terrific defender. Everything screams fade. Everything in the free world says fade this guy tomorrow. So I will make sure to play him in one lineup because I know he's going to go off one of these days. But he may be the most disappointing player in the NBA for me this year.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, he's been bad. Next guy up, Marvin Williams, 5.0K tomorrow against Toronto. You love that matchup against those Toronto power forwards. What do you think about Marv tomorrow?
Yeah, I mean, he's fine. Marvin Williams, very fair price, very safe floor. So I think he's an okay play. Nothing sexy. Don't expect him to explode. But if you're looking to save some money and you just don't want to freak out too much, you want someone relatively stable and safe, Marvin Williams is your man.
Yeah, no, I know. Next guy up, Enes Kanter, 4.9K against the Clippers. You don't like the fact that he's topped out at like 24 minutes this season, but I mean, he's a guy who can come in, get you bulk rebounds, get you bulk points, even in limited action. What are you thinking about Kanter for tomorrow?
I mean, you know, Kanter's a guy that, you know, he's, I'm trying to think of like a drug or something that's a bad analogy. I mean, but Kanter's basically the opposite of Marvin Williams, whereas Marvin Williams is safe, you know, kind of no ceiling, but a nice floor. I mean, Kanter, I mean, he's got a floor with just grenades all over it. I mean, like, the minutes with this guy are absurd. Like, I'm pretty sure in what's the coach's name for OKC now? Billy Donovan. I'm pretty sure Billy Donovan has in his contract he can't play Kanter more than 22 minutes because Kanter, last 3 games, 19, 21, 21 minutes. But then you look at his production, 5 FanDuel points, and then and then 38 and 35. I mean, he's a fantasy point per minute monster. Like, you're just, if you play him now against the Clippers, not the best matchup in the world, but if you play him, you just pray he gets minutes. If he gets minutes, he's going to produce. But there's some games where he'll literally get 5 minutes, and you don't know why. Like, he can't play defense, so that's a big part. But like, I will never understand in a league that half the players don't play defense why he can't get 24 minutes a game when OKC does need someone else to score besides Westbrook. I don't understand it, you know.
I love to watch Kanter play. I mean, you're right, he can't guard anyone, but he's great on offense and he's really
so
efficient.
Good. He should be, like, to me, he should be getting more minutes. Like how bad could he be defensively? There's so many there's so many people in the NBA who play big minutes who suck at like Vucevic. Can't be worse than Vucevic defensively. But yeah, so Kanter is a super, I mean, tournament only and you know, you go ahead, but it's nerve-wracking to play him.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you there. Next guy up, you got Dario Saric, 4.1K versus Indiana. He had that great game against Indiana in his last game, 34 FanDuel points. What do you think about Saric tomorrow?
No Okafor, so that makes me like him a lot more. Like you said, he did a really good game against Indiana last time, 34 minutes, 14 points, 12 rebounds, 34 FanDuel points. he's so cheap. He lets me do so many great things to the rest of my lineup. So I will definitely be playing some Saric in tournaments. And power forward's too loaded for me to use. Probably use him in cash. But I really like him for tournaments.
Yeah, next guy, another really cheap guy, DeMontis Sabonis, 4.1K against that Clippers. He's been getting big minutes. In the last four games, he's averaging about 27 minutes. What do you think about Sabonis for Friday's slate?
I mean, he's not a guy that I've been playing much this year at all. Then I did a deeper look tonight. I mean, the last 4 minutes, man, he gets 27, averaging about 27 minutes and 24 Fando points. So, like, I've been overlooking him. I think part of that is because I'm just angry that Cantor's not starting and getting more minutes. But Sabonis, man, I'm going to use him a little bit on Friday. Like, I don't love him, and I don't think he has much of a ceiling. But, you know, 4.1K is so dirt cheap, and it does open up the rest of your value. So, I mean, what I'm going to do is I'm going to have lineups, and then I'm going to have the same lineup, and one of them plays Saric, and the other one plays Sabonis.
Yeah, no, I mean, I could definitely see that. Next guy, Noah Vonleh, 3.7K. He actually started with Al-Farouq Aminu out in the last game. So you like that fact, I guess. He's super cheap at 3.7K. What are you thinking about Vonleh for tomorrow?
No, thank you. Just I want to go other routes. I mean, he's not. Yeah, he's okay if you really want to punt and throw him. You want to throw him in tournament, I guess. Go ahead, but no, thanks. Not for me.
Here's the thing about him that I think some people are going to see that he's starting and want to put him in. He basically just rebounds the ball. And that's not going to get you that many FanDuel points. So keep him out of your FanDuel lineup. If you need rebounds in a season-long league and it's super deep, I guess maybe you could throw him in. Last guy I'll mention, 3.7K, Rashawn Holmes. He should get minutes if Jahlil Okafor does actually rest, which he's doubtful. Listed as doubtful right now. Our friends at Basketball Monster rated him as the top value play of the day for tomorrow, so I mean it's worth a shot.
Okay, I I'm not gonna add anything.
All right, so getting to the centers, you got DeMarcus Cousins, 9.5K against Portland. You know, he's gotten you 42, 51, 24, 53, 45. That's not counting. Those are the last five games, not counting tonight's game against the Lakers. What do you think about Cousins for tomorrow?
I mean, you know, Cousins is always he's always gonna have a little exposure to him. But these days, everything about him, that team, his play this year, everything has been down. Everything's trending down. Everything's annoying. Everything makes me angry. You still use him in tournaments because he does have the monster upside. But it just hasn't been there this year. And there's other guys that I like a hell of a lot better on Friday. So I'll throw him in a couple lineups, but I'm not using him in cash, and I don't love to play on Friday.
Yeah, no, I feel you there. Next up, Andre Drummond, 8.2K against the Spurs. He's had 33, 21, 49, 32, and 43 FanDuel points in his last five. So he's kind of gotten value there in three out of his last five and two out of his last three. What do you think about Drummond for tomorrow?
He's a sneaky play on Friday. I think most people don't like to play guys against the Spurs. It's going to be the ugly, low over-under game. But Drummond, you know, he's got similar potential to Cousins, maybe not as high of a ceiling, but at 1.3K cheaper, I'll use Drummond in a couple different lineups.
Yeah, next guy up, you got DeAndre Jordan, 6.7K at the Clippers. He's giving you 40, 19, 34, 25, 20, and 33 FanDuel points in his last six. He needs like 33.5 points to hit value, so he's giving you that in roughly three of those six games. What do you think about DeAndre for Friday's games?
I mean, Jordan was he was like 8K almost all of last year. You know, so I'm trying to figure out how much, you know, why is his price coming down so low? I mean, one easy answer is just look at his production on the court. But I'm not sure how much of that is just the blowouts that the Clippers have been having. So 6.7K, he's going to be really low owned. This game should finally be close for the Clippers. We all know he doesn't do much offensively, but we're getting close to where he's become a price, where his salary at least is something that puts him in play for me. So, you know, I might use him in a couple tournaments. I mean, I still like other guys better. Center's loaded on Friday, but at that price, you got to give him a hard look these days.
Next guy up, Jonas Valanciunas. He's 6.1K. He's questionable with that injury still. I'm avoiding him unless I hear that he's starting and getting his full complement of minutes. Got any thoughts about Valanciunas for tomorrow?
No, let's move on.
All right, next guy up, you got Marcin Gortat, 6K against Cleveland. This dude's been crazy consistent this year. He's giving you 30, 35, 32, 28, 36, and 30 FanDuel points in his last six games. I love Gortat as a cash play tomorrow. What do you think about Gortat?
Yeah, the next three guys that we're going to talk about have basically been my cash game centers all year, and that's Gortat, Steven Adams, and Joel Embiid. Gortat's, you know, he's just been nice, steady, consistent. Like you said, I mean, basically giving you value every game. The 6K salary is fine. Everything about him is fine. I mean, the upside is not fantastic, but he's just really safe.
Yeah, I feel you there. Next guy up, Steven Adams, 5.3K. Now he's got to go up against DeAndre Jordan tomorrow. What do you think about Steven Adams for the game? I mean,
DeAndre Jordan is not a good on-ball defender. This is a big misnomer. People have been saying this. At one point, I think DeAndre Jordan was. For the last few years, he hasn't been. He gets a lot of his blocks, you know, helping on other guys, leaving his own defender. So I think this is a fine matchup for Steven Adams. He's 5.3K. That's very fair. I think a lot of people are going to play Embiid, Plumdog, or Tot, you know, who we just mentioned. So Steven Adams, you know, he's been under-owned most of the year. And I like him on Friday at 5.3K. I mean, I think he's fine for cash and for tournaments too.
I think people think he's such a good defender because I think it was the first year Doc Rivers was there, but it might have been the second. He kept saying that he thought DeAndre Jordan was the best defensive player in the league, and like he kept trying to push for DeAndre Jordan to get the Defensive Player of the Year award. And so I think people like bought into that he's a fantastic defender because of that. Next guy up, you got Joel Embiid, 5.2K against Indiana. He's really only playing 25 minutes this year, but he's been a point-per-minute monster. What do you think about Embiid?
Yeah, so now his price has come up, you know, about $700 in the last week or so at 5.2K. Now we're entering territory, right, where you're on a 25-minute limit. We're a 5.2K price. I mean, what's the upside now? I mean, he's had one game of 39 FanDuel points, did one game of 36, but he's basically got to play like really give you like really 25 stellar minutes now every game. Now he's basically done it so far this year. So I think he's fine.
Well, he's got to get a FanDuel point per minute, right?
He's got to give you a fantasy point per minute, which he's been doing this year. It's hard to love the play right now when he's, you know, when he's just that expensive and he's that capped in terms of minutes and what his production can give you. So, you know, I think it's at 5.2K is right. Like if he was like 5.5K, I think I wouldn't play at all. So 5.2K is about as high as I'll spend for someone like him. With that said, I'll still use him in a couple lineups. But, you know, if I had to choose between Adams and Embiid, I'd probably go Adams. I do love the matchup though, in the high paced game, versus Indiana. But I think I like Adams a little bit more, at kind of the same price.
And it's interesting to see if that'll change that match a little bit. He didn't play in that last game against Indiana, so it'll be interesting to see what effect Embiid's presence has on that game. Next guy up, you got Mason Plumlee, 5K against Sacramento. He's had some big games of 37 and 38 FanDuel points, but he's also had a 14 FanDuel point game in his last game. What are you thinking about the old Plum Dog for tomorrow?
You know, he's someone that I haven't played a ton this year. I don't love him for cash games, but, you know, when you take a deeper dive into his box scores and his game logs, he's been pretty consistent. And I think it's you know, I'm a little nervous going against the Marcus Cousins in foul trouble, I guess, but for the most part, I think he's fine. I mean, 5K is very fair for someone who's putting up the kind of numbers he's put up this year. And he does have an upside.
He just gets a lot of different stats. He can rebound. He can assist. He can score a little.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, like, he doesn't need to just give you, like, actual points. He's not a one-trick pony. So I think he's an intriguing guy to use.
Yeah, I feel you there. Next guy up, Tristan Thompson, 4.5K at Washington. He's coming off a 4.4 Fanduel.
Oh God, I freaking played him. I mean, I haven't played him all year, and then I played him on Wednesday, and he gave me 4 freaking Fanduel points. Just disastrous.
I will say this: he pretty much reached the value of a 4.5K in the 5 previous games before that. So I don't think he's a terrible play for tomorrow. But yes, he did kill you if you played him.
No, F my life. I mean, yeah, the last 5 games: 29, 22, 23, 41, 27 Fanduel points. I thought for sure he's going to give me 20 Fanduel points. He gives me freaking 4. Bum, Buster, just pathetic.
So if you're looking to go cheaper, you got Joakim Noah, 4.3K at Boston. He's kind of been up and down. He's had a couple decent games. He's had some real bad games this year. Boston likes to play big, though, so hopefully Joe gets the big minutes tomorrow. What do you think about Joakim?
I think his body is falling apart, and I think he's going to have a good game once a week. And if you play him on that day, he'll probably do well for you. So he's tournament only for me. I do love attacking the Boston bigs, but Joakim Noah is not a typical big guy. He's no offensive game, so he can't attack, he couldn't attack anyone these days. So tournament only, don't love the play, but I like him only on days of rest, which I think he's had a day of rest or two now, because the Knicks did not play on Thursday. So he's okay, but just I wouldn't play him in cash because I just don't think he's safe. I mean, there's games that there's basically days where he gets under 20 minutes now, and that will be a common theme this year. So just, be forewarned if you play Joakim Noah these days.
I feel you. Last guy, Kelly Olynyk, 3.5K against those Knicks. He played 26 minutes in his season debut, but he only gave you 11 Fanduel points. He's the minimum salary, so you like that. And he's probably going to get around 26 minutes in a decent matchup against the Knicks. I like it as kind of a pump play. What are you thinking?
I mean, Brad Stevens is pissed. He's irate. I didn't realize how much Boston needs or how much they miss and need Al Horford because they've looked dreadful. So, Olynyk, we've seen in the past, he's talented, man. He can shoot threes. He can do a lot of things on the court. He also has crushed our lineups numerous times in the last couple of years. So, at least he's the minimum, but still tournament only. He's a guy that could get you 0 Fanduel points or 30, 35 Fanduel points. So, if you want to use him in a couple tournaments, go ahead and hope for the best.
I feel you.
All right, man. That's the show. Sorry, guys, that took longer than we wanted to. Also, give us some feedback because, I was hearing Tyler's mic was like scratchy part of it. So hopefully you guys were able to, it was pretty clear for you guys and that it didn't give you an issue. But if it did, let us know because we're always trying to fix things on our end, any audio issues and things like that. But so, unfortunately, stuff like that does happen. Other than that, though, it's a really fun 8-game slate, though. So hope you guys have fun. And other than that, we'll be back and probably to discuss Saturday slate. So with that, enjoy basketball. And I'm out. We're out. Have a good weekend.